Hello, and welcome to the Spooky Spectacular with Damon and Shelby.
And Eric.
A podcast series leading up to Halloween where we explore some of the spooky movies available through Cromaine Library's online resources. I'm Shelby.
And I'm Damon.
And I'm Eric.
So you may notice we have a third person with us today. Yeah, so me and Shelby wanted to invite Eric on this podcast for a while because he has a good background in movies, knows more horror films than us, and so we grabbed him for this one.
Yeah, I'm happy to be here. The American version of The Ring is one of my favorite horror movies in a long time, and
oh.
This is my first time seeing the Japanese version, so I was pretty pumped to be invited for this episode.
Awesome. Cool. So yeah, Eric, as he said, we are going to be talking about the movie Ringu from 1998, which, as Eric already said as well, I mean, it is the original version of The Ring in made in Japan, and it's what the U.S. version is based off of. So, Shelby, going into this, what did you know about The Ring?
I saw the parody movie Scary Movie, so I just saw... Spoilers are fine, right?
Yeah.
All these movies are not new. Okay, great. And that's kind of what we do here, spoilers. So, I watched some creepy lady crawl out of a TV and then just get tossed like a salad, and so I tried to keep that vision in my mind while I watched this movie so I would feel better, because I was real spooked.
Yeah, so Shelly told me that she wanted to do something less campy, more scary, and so I chose this one with that intent in mind. Yeah, I gotta say though, I wasn't as spooked as I thought I would be as I watched it. It was more something bad is inevitably going to happen, less of jump scare spooky.
Yeah, so what you guys just brought up before, like literally right before you hit record, which I did not think of, and I was so excited to watch this with Shelby I knew had never seen it, not taking into account how prevalent it was in pop culture after, because when she crawled out of the TV, the first time I saw that in the theater and had no idea that was going to happen was, like, devastatingly terrifying.
Oh.
For people, like, who... It's an interesting thing because I didn't even think of that before, like, how people actually know that that happens.
And, totally.
And that must have lessened the impact, even though maybe it was still creepy, but...
It was not really creepy at all, mostly because by that point in the movie, I turned the volume off. I knew something was happening, right? Because we'll get to this part later, but you watch the TV and you see creepy stuff happening on it. And so I was just, no, no, no. And I just started skipping until she came out. And I was like, great. I thought this was going to happen an hour ago and it didn't happen. Mm-hmm. So I, because all that I knew of the movie was... creepy girl crawls out of TV. I thought that was going to happen in the beginning. So I did go into it totally knowing the spoiler. It's not really a spoiler, but it's definitely the big scare.
Yeah.
And I didn't really get it, even though I was so creeped out by that point that I had no volume and I was pausing every 10 seconds. And every time the camera would zoom in on someone's scared face, I was like, no, pause it.
Fair enough. In my experience, I have seen The Ring 2, but not The Ring 1. So I already knew that was happening too. I'd also seen Scary Movie 3, which parodies The Ring. So, yeah. But anyways, let's get to talking about what happens in this movie.
Yeah, we're three Ringu Musketeers. Okay. Okay, this movie is from 1998. I don't remember if we said that. It is available on Canopy if you want to check it out. A group of teenage friends are found dead, their bodies grotesquely contorted, their faces twisted in terror. Reiku is a journalist and the aunt of one of the victims, so she sets out to investigate the shocking phenomenon, and in the process uncovers a creepy urban legend about a supposedly cursed videotape, the contents of which cause anyone who views it to die within a week. Great! Okay, so we can dive in now.
So, sure, the movie starts and there are these two girls talking. Their names are Masami and Tomoko. And they look to be, like, maybe late middle school age, I would guess. And so they're having, like, a slumber party and sharing ghost stories together. And so Masami starts beginning to share the story about how, a friend of a friend of a friend was watching TV when he was out of town, and there was this creepy lady on the TV, and then he got a phone call saying he was going to die in a week, and he did!
Classic urban legend.
Ooh.
Absolutely. So then the other girl starts freaking out, Tomoko, and she's like, I saw the tape.
She's like, I saw this weird video. I don't know why it was weird, but it creeped me out, and we all watched it together.
Not only that, but tonight is a week from when I watched it. And so then the other one...
So you're welcome for inviting you over.
Yep, yeah, you've come to my death. But then she's like, oh, ha, 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 I had you going. I was just kidding. And then the phone starts ringing. So they start freaking out. They run down to it, and of course, it's her mom on the other end, just saying, hey, I'm going to be working late.
Just checking in.
Yep, going to be working late tonight. So don't worry, just, you know, take care of yourself, whatever. And so then they decide they're going to go hang out some more, and Masumi goes to the bathroom, but while she's in, the TV in the other room turns on by itself. And so already I'm freaking out because I know a little bit about the Ring, right? And this TV's on. I'm like, oh crap. And she goes in there and it's like baseball
game.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So she turns it off and then, she turns around and the camera just like, does like a still frame of her in like black and white and her face is distorted and she's screaming and she's frozen in place. And that's that theme.
Yeah.
Then we cut to some news reporters that are interviewing some girls about a curse video, which apparently if you watch late night TV, this video appears and there's this girl. And so, yeah, they're just interviewing these girls. And so we find out the news reporter's name is Reiko, and that's kind of that. She's interviewing these middle schoolers, high schoolers. They say they know somebody who's seen the video. But they're being kind of coy about it.
She is so beautiful.
Reiko?
She
looks
so just wonderful. Sitting in her little chair, she's got this cute smile, and she doesn't seem to be buying the story about, oh, and what kind of video was it, kiddos? Great, perfect. But she's fantastic.
So she goes back to work, and then she's, like, talking with other news reporters, and they start gossiping about this, and they're just like, oh, ha, this can't be true. These sorts of stories start when there's a traumatic death. And so she is looking up articles and finds out that there was a young couple that were 19 and 17 that died in a car accident recently, which one of them is one of the people that the girl mentioned as seeing the video. So she was apparently one of the cursed victims. That's kind of that. And so she gets home.
And are you... I'm so sorry.
No, go for it.
Are you going to talk about when she's in the office? And I guess there's this assistant there because he kind of walks by her and says something like, oh, I thought you were going home early tonight, you know, for a funeral or whatever. So she turns to this guy and she's like, hey, you know... check out this newspaper. Do you think you could find this high school for me? I want to trace it and learn more about this story, whatever. Mm-hmm. So he's like, yeah, sure. That sounds great. And then the camera just zooms in on him and he fully like bends completely forward, but his legs are straight and his back is straight. And he's just like in an L and he like puts his face, nose is 2 inches from the table looking at this newspaper.
Like a peacock?
Hilarious. He looks like a chicken about to peck something off the ground. I loved it so much.
That is amazing. I did not catch
I did
that.
Not catch that.
I laughed out loud. I was like, this is a comedy. This is perfect.
So she goes home after all of this, and she has a young child, little Yoichi.
Okay.
I love him so much. You better not insult him.
My feelings... He was like a weird but lovable little kid.
Chaotic vibe. For sure.
Oh, he's the best.
Okay, she walks into her home. It looks like she's alone, but then she calls out to Yoichi, and it just shows the back of this big armchair. This kid pops up out of nowhere, turns around, and he's like, "What?" First jump scare.
But he's in his like little uniform. He's cute.
He's very
exactly. cute. He's adorable.
Very cute, but he's also kind of got this expressionless dead face sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
So when he just pops up off of that couch, it's a sudden dead kid stare.
Okay. Well, she to make it even creepier though, when she starts talking to him, he immediately starts asking her about death.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, so as you said, they're apparently heading to a funeral, and they're heading to the funeral for Tomoko, who's the girl we saw at the beginning that got, like, freeze-framed. And so, that's great.
Yes. Why did Tomo-chan die? Do kids die? Who's gonna die? Am I gonna die? Are you gonna die?
We're all gonna die?
How do we die? So she's like, okay, kid, I'm gonna get my clothes on, we're going to
this funeral.
I like
how she's like, okay, don't ask these questions at the funeral, though, because...
Don't make it weird, not, kid.
Yeah.
We'll talk about it later. No, let's not do that.
I thought also found it interesting that he was asking, do kids die? And, like, Tomoko was, like, 12, maybe?
Yeah. Like does 14 he not, at tops?
Yeah. Does he not consider her a kid?
Maybe when you're young, people who are a little older than you feel.
See, how old do we think he was? Like 8?
He was 5 or 6. So at one point in the movie, she said that he is in first year, which I looked up, which is like American kindergarten. Kids are 5 to 6 usually.
Yeah, he's a little guy.
Yep. So they go to the funeral then. At the funeral, like, it's just like in somebody's house. It's in Tomoko's house. And her mother is there, and Yoichi just goes and, like, wanders off on his own and starts going upstairs at this house.
Very creepy music, but also I laughed out loud here, too, because we see him going up the stairs, and the camera is just all little legs, because he's wearing this little white button-up shirt. He's got this, like, thick vest on, so it's like a schoolboy uniform, right? And then I was like, oh, he's wearing some gray slacks. Perfect. The camera kind of follows him, and you can see that he's got these bare little legs. Those shorts are barely covering his little tush.
Those shorts were tiny.
They were tiny.
Like, 80s style, like, those old Adidas, like, style shorts that are so high, athletic shorts. It was weird.
So funny. With the long white socks up to his knees. It was fantastic.
Yeah. It was a look.
Yes. So he just goes into her old bedroom, and he's just looking around.
Okay. But he doesn't just go in her old bedroom. He goes in there and doesn't even turn on the light.
No!
Like, it is dark in this room.
Doesn't he know he's in a horror movie? This is terrifying.
Yeah. So, there's a TV in this room, and he starts staring at it.
No.
Exactly! I wrote in my notes, there's a TV. He stares at it. No! But before anything happens, Reiko comes in and finds him. Also, apparently, I typed her name as Reiki there, which is hilarious. You know what Reiki is. But anyway, so she finds him, and then they go back downstairs together. And so they leave the funeral, and when they head outside, the three girls that Reiko had interviewed the other day are standing outside. And so she decides to press them for a little bit more info, because clearly they were hiding stuff the other day, and she just wants to know more about this cursed video. And when she's talking to them, it turns out that Tomoko, the funeral she was at that for, had seen the video too. So that's great.
Mm-hmm.
Yikes.
Yikes.
So at work the next day, they find a video of a car crash, which was the two teenagers. And as they're looking at this video, it zooms in on, very briefly, their faces when they're being pulled from the car. And, oh goodness, how would you describe that? I mean, it was...
Oy.
I didn't think it was that scary. It looked like they told people who weren't good actors to, like, put on your scared face. Like a caricature of being terrified. It was like...
To me, it kind of looked like, you know, like the classic Scream mask?
Mm-hmm.
But that mask with, like, the really, like, unhinged jaw, and it's really wide and open. It looked like that, but, like, the jaw was distorted a bit. So it wasn't scary so much as it was weird.
It was a jump, too. The camera, like, zooms right in there, just gets in that kid's face, and then there's this musical sting, and it's creepy.
Yeah. So, that was kind of weird. And they also are talking about how, apparently, when they did an autopsy, they couldn't really find anything. Their hearts apparently just, like, stopped. The car doors were locked. There was nothing else in there. So, that was kind of weird. So, Reiko then visits Tomoko's mother again and goes to investigate Tomoko's room a little bit on her own and finds a receipt from the photo shop, which I didn't understand what this was at first. Did either of you?
I didn't catch it. I was too focused on what comes
after. No, but it had a, like, such a generic name, like Photoshop.
Yeah.
I think is actually what it was called. Like,
So apparently, based on context, I guess, it was the receipt you turn in when your photos were done being developed to get your photos. Sure. And so she brings it into the Photoshop to get the photos that Tomoko had taken.
I like how it looked like she just did that on her own and didn't even tell the mom. Was like, yeah I'm just going to go get your daughter's photos because I'm on the case now.
It was very weird. But before she leaves, the mother comes in and then she explains how she found Tomoko. And she had one of those weird extended jaw scared faces too. Mm-hmm. And it shows like a flashback of it. And she's like in the closet. Yeah.
Okay. But from the top, didn't we see her like die in the kitchen, or do you think she just kind of ran away to the closet?
That's a good point.
Yeah.
So unless, what was her name? Unless Masami, like, hid her in the closet after she died.
Oh. That's so much worse.
Well, because the mother discovered it, and Masami wasn't there when the mother discovered it, so she must have.
Oh.
Yeah. Great.
Horrible.
So anyways, so she gets the photos from the Photoshop, and she's looking at these photos, and it's four kids, like, in a cabin, hanging out, and then in one of the photos, their faces are, like, blurry and distorted. It kind of looks like a weird Snapchat filter.
Yeah, they're, like, yeah, melting.
Like somebody put the swirl filter in Photoshop or something.
Yeah, or, like, you're looking into, like, an aquarium tank, and your face looks like that. It was weird.
Yeah.
And so, that's great.
Fantastic.
Yeah, and so then the next time we see a scene, it's Reiko and Yoichi talking, and he tells her that he knows that Tomoko saw the cursed video. And she's like, you do not talk about that. We do not talk about that. Stop this. Do not bring this up at school. You aren't talking about this. She, like, shuts him down. It was really bad.
Poor kiddo.
Yeah, I was watching this with my boyfriend, and he's just like, why is she being so mean to him? He's so little and so cute.
Just a sweet baby with a creepy face.
So, it apparently is September 13th that appears on the bottom of the screen, and then the music makes this, like, really weird, creepy sound when the date is displayed on the screen.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, cool, it's September 13th, awesome.
The whole movie is every 20 seconds they make some kind of weird, like, fly buzzing or, like, a blarer, and it's just, they make it creepy somehow, and I didn't care for it because I could never relax.
Yeah.
But also it was a little bit comical.
Yep. So Reiko visits the place where that strange photo was taken, and it's this cabin, it's like this lodging place with a bunch of cabins that all look the same, but she saw the number in the photo, so she found the exact cabin they were in, and she goes inside, and everything looks to be pretty normal. I mean, it's a nice place, like, it'd be fun to go stay up at that cabin.
Sure. I'd go vacation there, yeah.
Totally. And of course, there's a TV there, and so, great. I wrote on my notes, this movie is making me scared of TVs every time I see one.
Yes, absolutely.
Especially old-fashioned CRT ones, like are in here.
All the old tech. That's, like, one of my three notes that I took. It was just so funny to see all of these old TVs and be like, wow, we've come a lot in 23 years or whatever.
Oh, yeah. Yes. And we get to a character later who, it's a very tense moment, and he stands up, and I was like, my guy is fully wearing, like, velvet pants. It was so bad.
Amazing.
Happy 1990s.
Yeah, the phones with, like, the wires, like, even the home phones all had, like, the handset connected to the base.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, this is wild.
Yeah. It was amazing. 98. So she turned the TV on, but, like, almost immediately turns it off. Like, it was resolved ridiculously quickly.
Okay.
And then she notices a notebook on the table. I don't know if it's, like, a guest book or whatever. And she's flipping through it, and then there's a photo or a picture drawn by a child of three people that have big stomachs. And there's a poem next to it that just says, my dad's fat, my mom's fat, so I'm fat, too.
Great, thank you so much.
And then she just, like, falls asleep on the couch.
She just puts the book down. She's like, all right, problem solved, this is great. Takes a nap, wakes up, has a nice little lunch somewhere. It was really strange.
Yeah.
She's on the case for sure.
So then she goes to the reception desk at this lodge and talks to the guy and asks him if he remembers anything strange when the four victims stayed there. And she shows him a photo of them, and, like, the date that they were here and whatever. And she's looking around the room, and there's a shelf of old VHS tapes, or I guess not old at the time, a shelf of VHS tapes, which, like you think with old tech, was so weird seeing. Mm-hmm. Like, they take up so much space.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, totally.
I thought it was a bunch of manga at the beginning, because like some of the sides of them looked like that, but no, it was VHS tapes.
Of course, there's the one that's just a white box.
Yes. She's like, which one is that, my friend? Can you pull that one out for me? I'll take that one that looks very ominous and has no title.
Yeah. He pulls it out. There's no label on it, nothing. And she's like, sure, I'll take that one.
So wait, are you telling me when you guys go on vacation, you don't like to watch potentially other people's home videos?
Actually, now that I think about it, that would be kind of fun.
I can't imagine what she could have thought was on that video.
But anyway,
she's like, great, just pop this sucker in and watch it. Great, perfect, good idea.
Yeah, so that's the other part I don't understand. She's heard this tale about the cursed tape multiple times. She has several people that died already that apparently saw this tape. So her response is to watch the tape?
Obviously.
Sure.
I was very confused by that.
The tape that she felt, like, magnetically drawn to.
Sure.
Whatever. So the tape plays, and first it shows a moon, and then it shows a woman combing her hair, and then we see a bunch of words appear on screen, and the subtitle reads Eruption, and then we see some people, like, crawling up a mountain, kind of, and whatever, and then the phone rings.
What's really creepy about that scene is that the film makes you watch the movie, too. So you're in this also, whether you want to be or not.
Yep. We have 6 days left.
Fantastic. Oh,
five great. For you.
Oh, no. I wasted a whole day.
Oh. Oof.
So the phone rings, and she doesn't say what's on the other end. She just kind of puts it down.
No, I think we heard it. It plays like that metal screechy sound.
I could not hear that because of my hearing. I did not realize it was a sound that played there.
I thought it sounded like a fly buzzing.
Yeah, it was. I thought it sounded like a metal, like a fork on a plate kind
screeching.
Of thing.
Okay.
Like a, yeah.
Huh.
So it just plays a weird sound. I thought it was going to be a creepy voice or something.
Yeah,
saying,
you would
like,
think.
7 days, my friend.
I was wondering if maybe that happened, though. We just couldn't hear that part of it.
Maybe.
Because she looked at the clock and it's 7:08 p.m. And 1 week. 1 week left.
Great. Here we go.
So then the scene cuts to poor sweet Yoichi. And he's walking to school. And he's got this umbrella. And the rain is pouring down on his sweet baby head. And he's walking along the sidewalk. And then there's just this dude in the sidewalk. That's like blocking his path. And he has this like standoff with his dude. So
I was so excited to see that dude because I love that actor. He's been in like a couple things that I've seen before.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, actually you've seen him too. He was in Endgame. He is the like Yakuza guy that Hawkeye kills.
No.
Yep, that's him. 100%. Huh. Because I was like, I think that is, I don't know his name. Well, now I do. Hiroyuki Sanada. He was in The Last Samurai as well. Which is where I recognized him from immediately, and then I looked up his IMDb, yeah.
And this was Ryuji, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Wow, I did not recognize him. That's so interesting. But I mean, 20 years, so...
Yeah.
Wow.
But anyway, so they had this, like, weird standoff where they, like, stare at each other, and then Yoichi just kind of keeps walking. And then the screen pops up with that it's September 14th, and the strange dude comes over to Reiko's house. So, they're talking, and we find out then that Yoichi's in year one, so he's 5 or 6 years old. And the other dude, he says he wants to see the tape. And Reiko's like, no, I mean, I can't let you watch this. Like, that's not fair. So he's like, well, you need to go get an exorcism. And she's like, but wait, you gotta take a picture of me first. So he pulls out a Polaroid and takes a picture, and this Polaroid develops faster than any Polaroid I've ever seen in my life. Like, it would, like, take the picture, and then there's a photo already. Sure.
No, we're not wasting any seconds here.
Yeah. Because he was totally not buying it, like, at all. He's
yeah.
like, okay.
Yeah.
And she's like,
lady.
This is no joke, bro. People are dying.
But then she's like, take my picture, but she won't look at the camera.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah. He's weird. Like,
So she looks at her picture and her face is all distorted.
Yes.
So
just like the one in the photo.
She's cursed too now. Great.
So he demands to watch the tape and he begins watching it, but she's like, I can't do this. And she leaves the room. So she's like standing on the porch in the rain and he's watching the tape. And then he comes and knocks on the door to let her know he's done watching it. And so she can come back in the room. And he tells her that the phone didn't ring. So maybe he's fine. And then he requests her to make a copy of the tape for him. So he can like study it further.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
What can go wrong?
Yep. So the next day, or maybe later that same day, Ray goes at work and she's copying the tape over. And this time she notices the well at the end of the tape, which I don't think we saw the first time. If we did, I didn't take note of it.
It was very quick, I think.
Okay.
But now it like lingered longer and then there was like a little blip of something before it cut.
Yeah. And then her assistant dude also brings her some info from other customers that stayed at that lodge over a time period. Okay. So then the dude, the weird creepy dude, because I just wrote dude and because I didn't know the name yet, right?
Dude.
So dude is outside and he's sitting on like a park bench and he just notices this pair of legs come up to him.
Yeah, I think he's at the university where he works.
Yeah, and he's a professor.
Just sitting there, just writing something down, a-working, and you can hear all the footsteps all around him and the street sounds behind him of cars and stuff. And then it's super creepy. The sounds just slowly fade into silence, and then there's just a single pair of footsteps. And then, like you said, the camera just shows a pair of feet.
Yep.
Yep. And then he says something weird like, did you do it, or it was you, wasn't it? Or something like
that. Yeah, he said, was it you? Did you do this?
I was so confused, because his mouth doesn't look like it moves. So he's, like, telepathically communicating with this pair of feet and saying, was it you? Did you do this? And then after a few seconds, the ominous music goes away. And then he just kind of looks up, and the street sounds are back, and there's no one in front of him. So what was that?
That is spoilery, I guess, but that is, like, never paid off.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't understand it either. I mean, spoiler for later on in this, we find out later he has, or maybe was granted, some powers.
He has some kind of psychic abilities that, he tells her this on the boat at some point later.
Yeah, maybe this is related to that?
P.S. I'm psychic, but, like...
Yeah, I don't know.
It'll all come together, I'm sure.
So, whatever. So then he's back at Reiko's house and they are investigating the video together and like slowly going through
it. Frame by frame.
Yes. Yes. It was ridiculous. So he notices that she notices that in the first scene, the woman's combing her hair in a mirror. And then there's another mirror in a scene after that with a creepy woman with like hair covering her face walking up. And then it goes back to the first woman combing her hair. But then Reiko's like...
Did you miss that, Shelby?
I totally miss it.
Oh, yeah. She's like far... It's the same shot, basically, but there's a girl like in the shadows in like a white dress with hair covering her face. Mm-hmm. And it's like super creepy.
It's the first time we see her.
I don't care for that. I probably was covering my eyes. Let's be real. Whenever they show the video, I'm like, no!
So Reiko realizes it's weird because apparently the way it's angled, and this didn't make sense to me, but like the way the shot was taken, according to her, you should have been able to see the camera person in the mirror.
She makes a really big deal about that.
Yes.
And I'm like, I don't feel like it's that complicated, but okay.
Yeah. But you can't see the camera person in the mirror, so that's unusual. And then I don't know where they got this, but they heard this quote, frolic in brine, goblins be mine.
I didn't hear that at all, but they're like, oh yeah, they say that in the video, and I'm like, what?
Where?
I just heard like weird ambient noises.
I wonder if they did some kind of thing where they turned up the volume and like played with the switches a little bit, because it sounds like it's in slow-mo.
I thought that too, and I thought like there was like a hidden message in the video, maybe.
Yeah, in the sound.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's the best answer I have for it.
But anyway, so they have this weird phrase now. And so the next day, Do we finally get his name? I think we do. I'm just going to give his name because I'm sick of saying the dude. His name is Ryuji. So the next day, Ryuji calls Reiko, and he says he looked it up, he looked into it, and apparently that is a saying from Oshima Island, where there's a volcano, there was an eruption at some point, which is interesting because the word eruption was in the video, and then she's looking in news articles and finds proof that the volcano erupted on this island a long time ago, and then there's this headline that says, did local women predict eruption? So they're wondering if all this stuff is connected. And to me, it kind of felt like, we're just throwing darts at the wall, and like, oh, this must be related, this must be related, this must be related. Which, obviously it is in a movie that's going to happen. But like, okay, yeah, there's, you're in Japan, there are many volcanoes, there are many eruptions. Like, this is all connected? Sure, conspiracy theorist.
Yep. Oh, and it is, it's from the province that I think a bunch of the schoolgirls mentioned early in the movie.
That's right.
The Iku, I forget what it was.
Which, where the academy where the two students died from is located. But anyway, so the next day she brings sweet little baby Yoichi. I'm going to have a sound effect after that. Like, aww.
Of the sweet baby with the dead face.
So she brings him to visit Grandpa, and they're going fishing in the river together, and it's so sweet.
I like when he's like, Grandpa, you suck at fishing.
Yes! Oh, it's adorable. And he has this, like, super cute little baseball cap on. And
it is very cute. He's much less creepy with a little baseball cap on.
Yes. Later that night, I'm not sure if this was Ryuji or her assistant called Reiko, but he says that the woman who predicted the eruption apparently threw herself in a volcano. And it's probably the same woman they saw in the film, because obviously it's all connected.
For sure.
Then he also says that he only has 4 days left, and so how he knows that he only has 7 days, even though he never got a call, was very confusing to me.
I kind of assumed that he was making that assumption, like, based on, I guess, just buying into the mythos that they were, like, kind of finding themselves a part of.
I guess. For me, I thought maybe he lied about the phone ringing, but we find out later the phone really didn't ring, so.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah. But anyways, so.
I mean, better safe than sorry. Like, I'd rather assume I only have 7 days and be delightfully, like, surprised.
Fair enough. She goes to bed, and she and Yoichi are in the same room. They've got these bedrolls next to each other. And so she wakes up in the middle of the night. And Shelby, I know this is your favorite scene.
I think it was about right after this scene that I was like, well, I'm going to call it a day, and I'm not going to do this anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So she wakes up and...
Very dark and creepy. Okay, I covered my eyes because I was so afraid. But I'm pretty sure she, like, looks at the cot next to her where her sweet baby is supposed to be. And there's, like, a little blip and she sees something. Does she see something there?
Yes. So she sees, I think it's Yoichi's body covered by, like, a white cloth. And it looks like the people that were crawling up the mountain in the video had, like, their bodies with, like, a white... like, almost a pillowcase over their heads.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was weird.
It looked something like that.
I thought it was, like, a girl's body, like, curled up, kind of.
I thought it was maybe a girl's body. Okay. Maybe the girl from the top.
Like, away from her. I thought it was, like a Didn't they also say, like, her name and it was, like, a female voice? A female voice said something and that's why she woke up, I thought.
Oh, I think you're right.
Maybe. And then she kind of blinks and it's gone. And then it occurs to her, oh, my child is not here. Oh, what's that weird noise from outside this room? And she opens the door and guess who's sitting crisscross applesauce just watching the film with a pair of dead eyes.
Yeah, and so she screams and she covers his eyes.
Why did she bring it with her?
She didn't, though. That's the thing.
Oh.
First thing she does is hysterically grab her child.
That's right.
Shake that baby like a sack of potatoes and say, why did you bring this movie?
She British nannied that baby.
But then she says in the creepiest voice that, oh, Tomo-chan told me to bring it. Tomoko, the girl that died in the beginning.
That's right. That was my thought when she was watching it. I was like, why did she bring that tape?
I thought that too. I also thought that how, because she called him several times earlier on, like, I'm going to be late from work. And like, she better not be leaving that tape at home with his child. So
you know she did. She was definitely like, that was a total latchkey kid. She was never around.
She even says at some point in the movie, someone asks her, "Oh, is your kid alone at home?" She's like, "Yeah." Is that weird? He's only, what, five? He's
five or six, yeah.
But he's like, you know, got the maturity of a 90-year-old. That's cool.
Sure, yep. It's fine.
He's an old soul. He'll be fine.
You can see it in his eyes.
Yeah. The next day, it's the 18th, which means there's 2 days left for Reiko. Ryuji and Reiko are sailing, and he says that they were careless, and he could sense something weird in her house. Like, he was like, "I felt Tomo-chan." But it wasn't really her anymore. So that's weird.
And creepy.
I think this is where we find out that he's psychic.
Maybe.
Besides that weird scene on the bench, I don't think it came up at all. Yeah.
He said it to the old man later, too, more clearly. But this must be the first time we hear about that. So they go and visit the province where the volcano is. And so they're talking about this woman who apparently went crazy and committed suicide by throwing herself into a volcano. She was apparently famous for her prediction about the volcano erupting and was known as a seer to the local people. So after the eruption, people investigated her, and she was experimented on by a professor trying to prove the existence of ESP. And they realize that at this point, the professor is probably dead. He would be too old at this point, but she apparently had a daughter. And so they're like, okay, maybe we can find out more about this daughter, find out more about this story. So they get to this hotel and go to get checked into their rooms, which they have separate rooms. And I think this is when we find out that they're actually a divorced couple, which just kind of came up, like, whatever.
Yeah, fine. Sure.
It was weird.
And, like, the kid is his?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
That I don't think we even find out at the same time, even.
It comes later.
Yeah. So they get to go check in separate rooms, and they notice the mirror from the video, which is like, oh, great. We know this mirror. That's not good. And so they start asking about the woman with psychic powers, the seer.
And the person that they're asking is, okay, they're staring at the mirror for 5 years. There's very creepy music, and then boom, the camera very quickly cuts to just this guy standing in the hallway looking at them. I jumped. What's with all these people appearing out of nowhere?
So he's just like, I have nothing to say. And she's like, well, they say she had a daughter.
There was no daughter.
Exactly. So, he's clearly not going to be a good source of information. The two of them eat together at night, and Reiko begs Ryuji to be with her when she dies so he can learn how to save Yoichi. Which, this is where we find out that Yoichi is his son, too.
Oh, okay.
Because she's just like, he's your son, too.
I melded the two scenes.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, and she's very... Okay, you could call it hysterically screaming and crying, but also it's perfectly reasonable to be this afraid, so not blaming her at all. But she is freaking out, and this guy is so calm. I wrote down in my notes, okay, he's a calm guy. He's just sitting there taking this. He's like, okay, whatever, dude. And then he says, you know, I don't want to be with you when you die because that other girl who was with her friend when she died lost her mind. And then she says, you'll be fine, homie. It's fine. And then he gets all offended. He's like, you just think I'll be fine because I'm a psychic or whatever. And then he just turns out of nowhere and says, maybe all three of us should just die. It's fine. We'll all just die. So then he's freaking out, and then, you know, he goes on and he's like, yeah, it'll be great. We shouldn't have even had a kid in the first place.
Yep.
Horrible.
Because this is what happens.
We all die.
So then a hotel worker comes in and brings them a photo of the doctor that experimented on the woman they heard about.
She knocks on the door and she's like, excuse me, I heard hysterical wailing in here. Everything okay? Oh, I have this photo.
Yeah, I did love how he was just like, oh yeah, come in. After they have this like very tense conversation, there's a knock and he's like, come in. Like nothing happened.
At some point, we also learned the woman's name. Her name was Shizuko. But anyways, so then the next scene, it's the next day, it's September 19th. So 1 day left. Ryuji and the aggressive old man from earlier are talking by the sea about Shizuko. And apparently she used to sit by the sea and just stare at it. And she had weird abilities. And Ryuji shares that he apparently has some abilities too. And so he all of a sudden, like, sees into this dude's past. And he's, like, traps them all in this scene where he's in the past and he can see it. And since Reiko had just walked up, she's in this scene too. And so they see this memory of the dude apparently sold out Shizuko because he wanted to make money off of her abilities. So he's, like, holding this, like, you know, thing where people are writing things and she's not seeing what they're writing and then predicting the things they're writing. And that's great. Then the crowd, like, just erupts, and there's, like, this is not real. This is just stage magic. But then the dude that is, like, leading the riot just, like, falls over and dies, and his mouth is wide open like the people we've seen before. Like, crap. Don't want to make Shizuko mad, apparently. But then she mentions somebody named Sadako, who comes out from behind this curtain and is this girl with hair in front of her face and a white robe, and she's like a child. And
like Cousin It.
Yeah.
But like a terrifying Cousin It.
Yeah. So, also, she's the one we saw in the corner in the video before, too.
Yes.
And apparently she can just will people dead and they die. So, that's great. And then she's taken away. Then we go back to reality, and Reiko just, like, faints. But yeah. Ryuji catches her, and they have this moment together, and they realize that Sadako is the daughter of Shizuko. So she's the daughter of the seer. But then they're like, oh, there's a video. This video, it's Sadako's rage. So
it's a logical conclusion.
They also come to the conclusion that the professor that experimented on Shizuko is her father. Not sure how they came to that conclusion, but they did. So then there's a storm and they're stuck on this island, and the angry dude offers to bring them back through the storm, which he also thinks the storm is Sadako's rage. They realize that Sadako probably died near the cabin that we saw earlier, the cabin that the phone rings in where they found the tape, whatever.
They just blame this poor girl for everything.
They do!
No kidding.
Bad weather? Sadako. Eruption, Sadako. No, they didn't do that, but
I'm sure they did.
Yeah.
Other times. Like,
so they decide they need to find her body and maybe that'll lift the curse. So there's one day left. They made it thankfully through the storm somehow.
Yeah, did we cover the part where they're just like, we'll take a fishing boat through this typhoon. It'll be fine, guys. But they made it. It's fine.
Yep.
It's fine.
So they made it safely through the storm, and it's Reiko's last day, so she calls Yoichi, and she just starts crying because she knows that it might be the last time they talk, but she didn't tell him that. Then she and Ryuji drive to find that cabin to finish this mission, and she says that, I looked at the clock after I got the phone call. It was 7:07, maybe 7:08 p.m., so that's our deadline. We got to do it by then.
Okay, hilarious that his response is, oh, so that's your deadline, I guess, and then just keeps driving. And she's like, oh my god, this isn't a college essay.
Yeah.
It's not a deadline, dude. I'm gonna die.
I mean, but it is literally a deadline.
Wow. Wow.
Very good.
Okay, so they break under the cabin. It's like on like stilts, kind of like Japanese style. And they break under the cabin and find underneath the cabin, there is the well.
Okay, hilarious that he just comes rolling in here with a single shovel, some rope, and a bucket.
Yeah.
I laughed so hard. I was like, my friend, what are you going to do with that? And then very lucky that there happened to be a well and that what you need for it is a single shovel, some rope, and a bucket.
Two buckets, actually.
Yeah, two buckets.
So he touches the well, which is like sealed off. And apparently he, like, has control of his powers that we didn't know he had until 20 minutes earlier. So he touches the well and realizes that the professor killed Sadako over the well. He threw her down the well. And so they open up the well, and I'm screaming, no! But Ryuji lowers himself down into it. And he gets down there, and then there's these, like, bloody parts.
Gross.
Yeah, disgusting.
Like, fingernails and...
Yeah.
That's what I think they were, like, just bloody gouges and fingernails.
The fingernails make sense based on what happens in a minute. So he gets down there and realizes that, oh, she was actually still alive when she fell down here. And she had tried to crawl her way out and couldn't make it out. hence the fingernails.
I just saw a bunch of squishy stuff in there. I couldn't tell what anything was.
They start trying to empty the well bucket by bucket, with him at the bottom filling the bucket and Reiko at the top pulling them up.
This poor woman is doing all the work.
I know! He literally just standing there like, whoop.
Who would you rather be? The person who's in this well, something is for sure going to jump out and grab you, and you're just in the dark with a flashlight hauling up water. Or would you rather be the one standing outside the well? It's getting dark outside. You can hear rustling around like something's going to come up behind you, and you're hauling up this water.
There is no good place to be.
Yeah.
But I feel like he would probably pull the buckets quicker. If it was my deadline, I would want the quicker bucket puller to be, because it takes 2 seconds to dip the bucket in the water.
Yeah, like, And he keeps saying, hurry up, why are you so slow? And she's like about to pass out. She cannot do it for another moment.
I also don't understand why he even needs to be down there in the first place. They can both stand outside the well and drop a bucket in and pull water out.
Why do they need to empty the well when it's only like a little above waist height? How much could the body be hiding in there?
That's what I was wondering too. Why did he just like reach around down
just
there?
Just reach in there.
So she gets tired and she just like lays on the ground. And
she gives up. Yeah. She's like, this is it.
Yep. So he crawls out of the well. Like, I don't know how he managed to do that. Like, you are strong, buddy. He manages to crawl up and out of the well. And so he's like, well, let's trade places. We have a timeline. We've got to do this.
Okay, and we need to talk about the fact that he crawls out of that well, and she's like, what's even the point? It's not going to do any good. He smacks her so hard in the face, knocks homie over, picks her back up, and is like, listen. Are you here to mess around or not? Because what about your kid?
That was like, totally not just a snap out of it slap. That was a, like,
that was a
this is all the rage
anger.
From our marriage slap.
Oh my god. Horrible.
So she goes down to the well, and she just, like, has still, like, given up. She's doing nothing with the bucket. She's kind of standing there. And then she just, like, starts freaking out, and she just starts reaching around, which is what we said she should do in the first place.
But also, horrible. Oh, what are you gonna touch?
Yes. So she reaches around frantically, and she finds hair.
Absolutely not. This is the part where I die.
Yeah, no. I do not do wet hair. Like, I don't even clean the drain of my shower without, like, retching.
Oh, and she's got such a handful. I could not handle this.
So she pulls his body up, and it's, like, all hair, but then the hair falls off, and it reveals this skeleton.
Oh.
And water, like, comes out of the eye sockets of the skeleton, like, it's
so
crying.
So disgusting.
Yeah, it was, like, greenish.
Because it was, like, greenish yellow, like, ugh.
And here she comes. Look at this pretty face.
But then she hugs the skeleton.
Just spooning it. She's like, here we are. It's gonna be okay, dead body.
And so then Ryuji calls out from the top, and he's like, it's 7:10. We made it. You're safe. You're safe. You're safe. Woo!
You did it. I hope this clock is accurate.
Yeah. So, she comes out, and they're talking after, and they're like, well, why did the professor kill her? Wait a second. Maybe he wasn't her father, and maybe her father wasn't human.
What?
Yep.
Ugh.
Because they talked about her talking to the sea, but, like, the other guy said, I listened to her one day, but it wasn't a human language. It was a language from another world or something.
And it was Goblin Be Thine thing, too.
Yeah, I think they were trying to imply that, like, the sea or some kind of sea spirit, maybe, was
like
the
sea hag
parent? The sea goblin impregnated her? I don't know.
It was
great.
Weird.
Perfect.
So it's the next day, and Ryuji's in his apartment, and the video starts playing on the TV, which is weird, because he's like, but why? We fixed this. We fixed this.
I really thought we were okay. I wrote in my notes, there are 6.5 minutes left. This is boring. And then immediately we cut to the TV turning on, and I was like, no, please.
And so it shows the well on the TV, and she crawled out of it, Sadako, and she's coming closer to the TV. And closer to the TV, and closer to the, until she's way up at the front of the TV, but then his phone rings. And so he reaches for the phone, and as he does that, she just, like, crawls out of the TV. Which, I thought was really cool. But she's crawling on this floor, and she's disgusting. She has no fingernails, which we knew from before. They're just, like, bloody stumps, basically. Her hair is covering her face, and she's crawling, like, some weird alien creature, like not human. And she's getting closer and closer to him. She stands up, and so he's freaking out, but he's like going like at a snail's pace to get away from her. Like, what is up, dude? You can go faster than these, like, ridiculous.
Yeah, wait a second. What would happen if she came for you and you just ran away?
I don't know.
Because no one runs away.
I don't know.
But I mean, she can do it with her mind.
Yeah,
so,
I guess you just die.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then it shows her eye. It zooms in on her eye and it's like super creepy. She's like, yeah. I wish you could have seen Eric. He just did it. He like leaned back with his head and like his eye is like off and it was weird.
Oh, it's like her face is tilted all the way back and her eyes are as wide as they can go, but her eye is like facing down. Like yeah. She's trying to look down into her gulp. But I don't know. It's
weird. Yeah, but then someone white of her eye is showing. And so then he screams and gets trapped like that. Just like the beginning of the film. It shows this black and white snapshot of him. So great. Guess they didn't solve it. And now we have, like, 3 minutes left in the movie to resolve this. So Reiko gets a phone call, and she runs to Ryuji's apartment. The police stops her, and she's like, no, I'm his wife. Which, you were.
Not true, but okay. Say whatever you need to say to get through.
And then she wonders if Yoichi's gonna die too, because he's seen the video. She wonders if she's the only one that's been saved, and she cries about it. And then she looks at her TV, and there's a reflection of some of the victims, like, with their faces covered, pointing into her bag on the couch. And she goes over to it, and it's the copy of the tape that they're pointing at.
That was actually one of the scenes in the video, too. It was like a guy with a towel wrapped around his face in front of the ocean, pointing.
Okay.
Stop!
Yep.
So, she then pulls the tape out of her purse, and somehow, in a moment of revelation, realizes that the curse must have been lifted for her because she showed it to someone else and that passed the curse onto them. So you've got to copy this film and show it to somebody else within a week so you won't die.
It was very on the nose. I think the video VHS tape even had a sticker on it that says copy.
Yeah.
Like in English.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I was like, oh, yeah, okay.
Well, perfect.
So she's like, well, everyone's got to do this then so they don't die. And so that's the new plan. She's driving off. She calls her father, grandpa, and she's like, I need you to do something for Yoichi. And so apparently she's going to have Yoichi give him the tape. And then the movie just ends.
Great.
So what'd you think?
I liked it.
Shelby?
I'm so stressed.
Are you going to watch The Ringu too? Because this movie, Eric, you were telling me something yesterday about it.
They, according to the Wikipedia page, this movie and the sequel Spiral were released at the same time in Japan.
Oh.
So it's got there's a whole series of movies and they released the first two like simultaneously.
Wow, so you can just dive right in.
And there was an earlier made-for-TV movie.
Okay.
That the director and writer of this one, whose names I sadly can't remember, watched. And then made this movie.
Gotcha.
So it's kind of like the American version is an extreme game of telephone where there was like three things that came before it. And it's like, we'll just base it on that. And it's also based on a novel. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The novels.
Wow.
Yeah.
I just placed a hold for it today. It's available through TLN.
Hey. I just placed a hold for Ringu too. So yeah.
And I just placed a hold for a really big piece of cake after this, because I'm
really
stressed.
For a whole lot of nope for Shelby.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had a blast. It was a little bit slower than I was expecting. Mm-hmm. Like I said at the beginning, I was expecting more like jump scares, because I had heard from multiple sources that this one is scarier than the American one, which, having seen The Ring 2, which was not scary, but had more jump scares than this, I feel like the American one is probably scarier.
I will be interested to hear your take on it when I agree.
Okay.
But I also think it's not fair because the American version, like the budget had to be God only knows how much higher. It was like a big, huge Hollywood movie. And it's almost like it's cheating, right? Because it's a very, very similar movie. It's different enough where I did enjoy and get things out of Ringu that weren't in The Ring.
Mm-hmm.
But it's almost like Ringu is a rough draft for The Ring. And I feel like the changes they made in the story made it more coherent and scarier in a lot of ways.
Sure.
So, yeah.
I think your point earlier about seeing it when it first came out would have made a big difference on how scary it was too.
Because that turn at the end, like, especially in the American version, the soundtrack is like a very big part of the horror. I feel like the American soundtrack is like more than just weird noises. Like, there's an actual musical themes and stuff. And the musical theme when they save her in the well, and even after, is like that happy resolution kind of theme. It's just a hard cut to like, wait, what's happening?
Yeah.
Why is no? And it's like a very effective turn in the movie where you're just like, oh my God, this isn't over and we're not safe.
Yeah. I was a little disappointed because, I mean, I knew there's a sequel, but I didn't realize that, like, you almost have to watch it. Like, this one leaves at such, I mean, not Shelby, you don't have to. But I mean, this movie.
No, you're in now.
Oh, no. This movie ends at such, like, a cliffhanger that you want to know how they deal with this and if they ever escape this cycle somehow.
Sure.
I thought that it was the perfect kind of thing where it wasn't necessary to have a sequel because it ends with the voiceover of all those same high school girls who open the movie, or different ones, but just like another set of high school girls talking about like, oh yeah, you have to make a copy. So everybody knows how to avoid the curse now, which like leaves it open to a sequel, but it doesn't have to. It's like pretty brilliant. Although I guess being that they made a sequel at the same time, kind of unnecessary.
Yeah.
But
I also would say that if your type of horror is less gore, less jump scares, more getting sucked into a story and really immersing yourself in that lore, that this kind of movie is for you. I mean, we just spoiled the whole story for you, but if you still feel like watching it, like this, you could really get into it. But it takes a commitment on your part. And for me personally too, that added layer, like I watch a lot of foreign films and stuff that are in other languages, but I think this being a horror film, that added layer of having to also do subtitles on top of it was took me a little bit out of that. And I think that if you allow yourself to be more immersed by that, you would do well with this film.
Yeah, and I would say as someone who's seen The American Ring, don't not see this just because you've seen the American version. It is different enough. Like a lot of the beats are the same, but a lot of it is different as well. So there are enough differences where I think it'll be enjoyable even if you kind of know the big plot points.
Yeah. And as a person who's a sweet baby to horror.
Like Yoichi.
Yeah, I hope that my face isn't that dead. I may be the only person on the planet who jumped multiple times, but it was fun to get spooked. A lot of the times, creepy faces and the camera just cutting very suddenly to someone just standing there. Ah, that was fun. There was a lot of dread the whole time. As you're kind of going, you're always waiting for something to grab you, especially if you are like me and you're not familiar with any of the Ring movies. And I kind of knew what the point was, is that this creepy figure crawls out of the TV or whatever. So I was always waiting for that, and it was a very dreadful feeling. It was fun. I'm scarred for life, but in a fun way.
Yeah, it's not the kind of movie for me that made me scared to go to bed afterwards. Like, it was fine.
So, funny story, the original version when I saw it, I was 22, and I am not afraid to admit that I was horrified. And as little sense as it made, I slept with the TV on for a solid 2 weeks because I just could not be in a dark room.
Whoa, wait a second.
I know, it doesn't make any sense because I was like, and I realized it even at the time, I'm like, this makes no sense, but I'm keeping this TV on.
At least you didn't have a VHS then.
I did.
Yeah, you probably did. If this thing comes for me, I'm going to see it.
Mm-hmm.
That's fantastic. My gosh. Yeah.
It was just having a light on. I needed to have a light on for like, it was at least a couple days, if not a couple weeks, where I was just like, I don't care.
My guy, why didn't you just turn on a light?
Because I can't sleep with a light on. I'm a very picky sleeper. Not picky, like finicky. I just don't sleep well regardless. So the TV I could kind of get away with, at least to fall asleep and then maybe like have a sleep timer on and it'll turn. But an actual bedroom light is just too much. So.
Wow. Well.
Well, we need to wrap this up because this episode's getting a little bit longer than we needed to. But any last comments before we wrap this up from either of you?
No.
Get a piece of cake for after. Because I'll be headed to the kitchen after this.
Good deal. Well, if you have any comments or questions, feel free to reach out to adult@cromaine.org, and one of us will get back to you, or maybe all of us, because we love hearing from you. And yeah. This has been the Spooky Spectacular with Damon.
And Shelby.
And Eric.
Have a great night.